Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we've learned Mizmor Nun Aleph, Psalm 51. Lamanatzeach Mizmor LeDavid Bevo Elav Natan HaNavi Kasher Ba El Batsheva. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into or sinned with Batsheva. This verse, which is the title of the psalm, is quite incriminating. If we accept the assumption that the songs of David were not his private hymns, but rather a popular vehicle for connecting with God during this time, then we have a strange conclusion. David publicly incriminates himself. Could David not have left out this damning verse? Would he not have saved face? Had he not revealed to the nation his desires, his iniquity, and his darkest actions? Why include this psalm at all in Songs of David? The answer is clear and lies at the very root of David's greatness. Many would choose to omit, ignore, forget, and downplay the sin. Many, but not David. For David, king of Israel, understood the high standard of a king or leader must uphold, and he was aware that he would be subject to both scrutiny and emulation. His actions were not private ones, but public acts, either honoring the sanctity of God or defaming it. David, having been confronted and rebuked by the prophet, felt that he must confess his sin. And even though the prophet granted him forgiveness on some level, he was going to be punished, but he was forgiven, he wasn't going to be deposed. Nevertheless, he felt that he must confess his sin publicly, throwing himself at the mercy of God and begging forgiveness. This itself separates him from others who search for excuses or justifications. Even though the prophet told David his repentance was accepted, David did not feel exonerated, since his repentance happened in private, behind royally closed doors. As representative of the nation, he felt he must make a statement pouring out his shame before his ministers, his army, and the peasants who work in the fields. He would write a song, the story of his sin, his darkest hour, and his forgiving God who saw his genuine tshuva, repentance, and granted him another chance. The context of the damning psalm is the story, the sin of David and Bathsheba. He stayed home from going into battle. He saw a beautiful woman bathing. He desired her. He knew she belonged to Uriah the Hittite. He slept with her. She found out she would become pregnant, retrieved Uriah from battle. Uriah would not return to his house, so he was kind of caught there. David sent a message to Joab to place Uriah in the line of fire so that he would die in battle. Nathan, the prophet, came to him the next day, and David was surprised to find that his behavior was known and God deemed it unconscionable. David was told the story of the poor man's sheep, and he condemns the rich man immediately, not realizing by doing so he was indicting himself. Once David understands the parallel and that his actions are odious to God, his reaction is swift and unwavering. Chatati l'Hashem, I've sinned to God. He immediately begins the tshuva process, knowing full well that he must pay for his deed. Now, the Bible doesn't disclose his full tshuva process. It leaves it to our imagination. What does he feel? What steps does he take to return to God? How is he permitted to return to Bathsheba? How does David transform his most shameful and painful experience into a tool to teach about God, about how to approach God? The answers are not found in the book of Samuel, where the story takes place. They are, however, present in Psalm 51. This is the uncensored versions of David's actions, his despair, and his journey back to God. We divide the chapter into mini themes. Each section seems to focus on a different part of David's tshuva process. Stage 1, verses 3 to 6, sin awareness. Chaneni Elohim kechastecha kirov rachamecha mecheb sha'ai, herev kabseni me'avoni mechatati tareni, kib sha'ai ani ada mechatati negdi tamid. Lecha levadcha chatati, v'ra be'enecha asiti, l'man titztak b'dovrecha tizkeh b'shoftecha. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know, I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you alone I have sinned and done this evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and clear in your judgment. The first aspect of tshuva is recognizing the sin. David desired to publicly confess rather than keeping it a covert prayer. Verses 3 to 6 present us with David's unique attitude in serving God. David seeks to enlist God himself in a partnership during his lifetime, asking God to help him pray, fear, act, stand firm, battle his enemies, and hear, forgive. He begins with a request for divine assistance. Be gracious unto me. He then reminds himself and God that his sin is before him constantly. Keep shayan and yada v'chatati negdi tamid. The final verse, verse 6, is a bit complicated. He says, lecha levadcha chatati. I sin to you alone. What about his actions to Uriah? What about to Bathsheba? What does it mean, I only sin to you, God? Shaddal answers, many different commentators answer different ways, but Shaddal answers that as king, David's actions were not atypical. He could choose anyone and could have had people killed for a variety of reasons. As a servant of God, however, his actions were despicable. For this reason, he confessed, saying, even though nations of the world will not see anything wrong in my actions, to you, God, I have sinned. In the second stage, verses 7 to 13, we see that it's not an excuse, but an explanation. He writes, Hen ba'avon cholalti v'chet yechat matni imi, hen emet chafatzta batuchot v'satum chachmat odieni. תחתני באזור ואתה, תחפשני ממשל הגלבין, תשמיעני ססון ושמחה, תגנדה בעצמות תקיטה. הסתר פניך מחטאי וכל הנועתיים, יחי לב טהור ברע לאלוהים, ורוח נכון חדש בקרבי, אל תשליחני מפניך, ורוח קודשך אל תיקח ממני. It's a little complicated. He writes, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin, my mother conceived me. Let's figure that out. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. Therefore, teach me wisdom in the inmost heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create me clean heart, and renew a constant spirit inside me. Don't cast me away in your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Repentance is not about looking for excuses. It's about understanding ourselves and finding a way to change. Like all humans, David must first recognize his weakness and their causes. It is this idea that grips David in the middle of the psalm. Behold, I was born with the capacity for iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Yet you desire truth in the inward parts. Make me therefore know wisdom in my heart. David is not looking for a justification for his actions in verse 7. We are not born in sin. We are born with the capacity to sin. It is part of our spiritual DNA. That's free will. We are imperfect beings, inconsistent and ignoble. Nevertheless, we are the sons of giants, children of kings, and students of prophets. Therefore, verse 8 counterbalances verse 7. Malvim also notes that the parallel between the verses, though God implants the capacity to sin, he also implants the wisdom to refrain from sin. Maybe the innate gift of God is not that wisdom prevents sin, but that wisdom bestows the ability to repent. The sheer knowledge that we can obtain a clean slate with God, a new beginning, gives us hope to continue to battle within ourselves. In verse 9 to 14, David shows that though he has contaminated himself in sin, through the gift of tshuva, he has potential for tahara, for purification. Pure me, purge me, cleanse me. Do not hide yourself from me. Blot out my iniquities. Renew, restore, revitalize. These prayers highlight the intensity with which King David embarks on his tshuva. He not only wants to repent, but he asks God for the purest form of forgiveness, a new heart, a new essence, a new lease on life. Stage 3, verses 15 and 16, he becomes from sinner to teacher. Alamda poshim derachecha v'chataim eilecha yashuvu hatzileni midamim Elohim Elohai. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall return to you. Save me from blood's guiltiness, O God, you God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud your righteousness. David, in his quest for a new spirit, is ready to put his reputation on the line by going out to the sinners and saying to them, I too have sinned in this way. In verse 16, David asks for one more thing to facilitate his tshuva process. Deliver me from blood, O God, your God of my salvation, so my tongue will sing aloud your righteousness. Rashi and other classical commentators interpret this literally, saying that David asked God to prevent others from killing him to avenge Uriah. Hirsch presents a figurative interpretation, stating that the blood refers here to the guilt David experiences over the blood that he caused to be spilled. Both interpretations reflect David's concern, both physical and metaphysical, that something will prevent him from finishing his task of publicizing his process and teaching others through his experience. Final stages, verses 17 to 20. Adonai svatai tiftach ufi yagiv tihilatecha. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else would I give it? You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You will not despise God. Do good in your good will to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness. In the three words, Hashem Svatai Tiftach, David encapsulates a whole entreaty. God, I know that my iniquity could totally paralyze my relationship with you. I know that I attempted to hide my sin from man and from God. I know that I am not worthy of your mercy. Nevertheless, I beseech you, open my lips, lift up my head, help me to help myself. Give me the boost to continue on this path, which if I succeed, will ultimately return me to you, to my people, and to myself, says David. He then takes it one step further. He tells us that his process is not complete until he has taught others. He informs generations of Jews that they have the ability, indeed the responsibility, to learn from their mistakes and then to become role models for the next generation. You might think that when David asks God to open his lips, that his mouth would speak his praise, that it was for self-gratification or even for God. Absolutely not. Ufi yagid tehillatecha refers to the multitude of simple people in the world who will hear David, the same David who sinned, praise the Lord, speak to God, and forge once again an intimate relationship with him. This then is the true meaning of the unique verse, and is no secret that approaching God in prayer and solitude and shame and joy as well, we say Hashem Svatai Tiftach, and it's such a fundamental part of the beginning of our Shemona Esrei. Now, if the psalm were only about tshuva and how to choose the right path after crisis, then it could have ended in verse 17. There's another motif, and perhaps this motif is the reason that the sages saw fit to choose a verse from Psalm 51 to introduce Shemona Esrei. David also teaches us about prayer, affording us the insight into an extremely important way one should approach God. Imagine David's state of mind as he writes this psalm, having just been confronted by Nathan the prophet, having admitted his guilt and having seen his world begin to crumble. David's spirit is crushed, his shame is apparent, and his soul is broken. This is David who approaches God, seeking communion and prayer. With this idea, David concludes his psalm. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and crushed heart, God, you will not despise. We begin the dawn of our day brimming with confidence and expectation. We rise in joy, speak to our Creator and praise Him, thank Him, and rejoice in our chosenness as we approach the highest prayer, the Shemona Esrei. Precisely at the moment when our adrenaline is pumping and our hearts are ready to sing to God, our rabbis remind us to surrender, to be humble, to remember that a broken heart and a crushed spirit sometimes have easier access to the heavenly gates than an individual standing erect, praying, and expecting an immediate answer. David's six words pleading with God to open his lips reflect this central theme in prayer in particular and in serving God in general.